We are going to take a little hiatus from the book of Romans right now. We're going to continue next week. We'll continue through chapter 13 next week. But we're going to start in 2 Corinthians 12. So if we could all turn there this morning. And as usual, I'll give you guys a kind of introduction and why I chose this passage. So for a lot of you guys know, I was quarantined for a couple of days due to a fever in my room, and God had me go through this passage. And of course, I was praying for some healing on my body, but also guidance and solutions to help minister during these times, during obviously the pandemic that we have going around here and around the world. And so, you know, and as I was going through this, God had me realize two areas that I was pretty proud of. One is my work ethic and my health. And this has been going on for probably the last 6 months, 12 months. If you don't know, me and my wife were called here about 8 months, in July, but before that, we were called to Billings to minister here. And so God's been doing a whole work in my life, but the two areas that I was really proud of was my work ethic and my health. And as of now, they've been pretty humble. And yes, we can say this is attacks of the enemy, but we know that it's allowed by God. And so my work ethic, in the sense of I was laid off for the first time, and I had difficulty finding a job to provide for my family. My health, in the sense that, you know, I can count on the number of times I've been sick on my hand in the last 15 years. And of course, why I'm writing this and why I'm thinking about this, I'm quarantined to a room. So, you know, and God, again, had me go through this passage. And during this journey, as God has been stretching me, He has also challenged something I'm quite weak in, and that's making quicker decisions. And you could ask my wife this. She pulls her hair out sometimes waiting on me to make a decision for her. A decision for us. So even as I was really confident in the decision I made on Friday night by having everyone being called for two services, we're going to put a service online. My decision was ousted by the announcement from the county Friday evening that we could no longer meet until April 10th with no more than 5 people. So this is why we're doing this live. But now I'm telling you all this not to get sympathy. I don't want sympathy, but to help us realize how God might operate to increase our dependency on Him and our usefulness for Him. And that's why He had me go through this passage, and I want to take you guys through it too, in 2 Corinthians 12, and we're going to start in verse 5, and we're going to go through verse 10. So I'll read, then we'll pray, and we'll get through this. We'll get through this. So, it says, in verse 5, 2 Corinthians 12, of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I will refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. Unless I should be exalted above measure, By the abundance of the revelations, the thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, that I am strong. With that, I'd pray. Let's do that first. Lord, again, thank you for your word. Thank you that as I share this passage, I know you spoke to me, and realizing that my dependence on you needs to be full, Lord, and you're wanting me to get there, Lord, and you're helping me get there. So I just ask as we go through this passage that we would look to you for our strength, no matter what we're going through, Lord. And that's what Paul did. Even though he had this thorn, Lord, you used this to glorify yourself. And Lord, we want to be about your business, Lord. So just be speaking to us, each one of us, where we're at. Lord, I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the context in 2 Corinthians, really towards the latter half of the book, he's writing in defense of his apostleship, in defense of his authority. He's given his credentials, and actually at this point, he's dealing with the revelations that God's given, the visions that God's given him, and their legacies. And so that's what he's talking about. As we introduce verse 5, he just mentioned a man that had a vision and was taken up to paradise or the third heaven. And he knew this man. And most people believe, and I believe, that he's talking about himself. But yet, notice he doesn't bring this subject up. He said this happened 14 years ago. Most of us, I don't know, if I had a vision, something like this, and obviously he couldn't put it in the words, he says that in the passage, but if you had a vision like this, you would immediately go tell your neighbor and everybody else, you know, this is what God thought. He took me up with him to this third heaven. A lot of people believe that this happened in Galatia 14 years before he wrote this section of the Bible. He was in Galatia, and he had, I think it was, I don't know the city, but he was stoned nearly to death. And some people believe during that process, God gave him this revelation. He bring him up. And all this to tell you that he, when dealing with this thorn in the flesh, he wanted to highlight the weakness in his life rather than his vision. And that's what he's pointing out to these individuals. He goes, I could talk about this. I could, you know, he says, of such a one, I will boast. And talking about the individual in Christ who actually got to, you know, again, referring to himself in the third person, I think. You can check my grammar. But referring to somebody in the third person, and he says, this individual who's in Christ gives this testimony again of this guy and who was taken up with the Lord and had this vision that was unspeakable. He said, I could boast about this, and I don't think it would be improper. Again, we want to give a testimony of the things God's done in our lives. Right, the Bible says we're not to glory. Oh, Jeremiah 9, one of my favorite passages, says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, But let him who glories glory by in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. I'm simply to my wife that I need water. So, with that, again, what we are to glory in is the thing that Christ has done in us, the fact that we know him and what he's done in our life. And that's what he says of this. Of such a one I will boast, I will talk about, I will share about this individual, yet I will not boast about myself. Right? The Bible says, let another man praise you, not your own lips. I often bring this up to my kids, and the fact that they're not to brag about themselves. They need to allow somebody else to bring that up, not themselves. This is a Proverbs 27:2. And you notice that Paul, again, took 14 years to share this, and was only because he is at this point trying to defend his apostleship and the authority that God's giving him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, to preach the gospel to the world, to reach the world. And a lot of, some of the Corinthians did not think he had, because of his stature, because of other things. And yet, just before this, he goes through all the trials and tribulations. We'll talk about that later. But he goes through that because he knows what he's been sent for, to share the word. And he goes on to say, yet I myself, I will not boast. We just talked about that, except in my infirmities. So the previous chapter, if you guys turn the page, maybe a couple pages for some, he gives you a list of just the things that he went through. That I know of no other man really going through as far as to preach and get the gospel out. He says in verse 23 of chapter 11, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil, and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Well, all this to tell you is, this is what he says I'll use. These is the, I'll boast in my infirmities. I'll boast in the things that God has allowed me to go through or survive in order to get the gospel out. And then shares that often throughout this passage. It really is the emphasis in the fact that God's strength is made, is glorified in our weakness. And he'll continue to share that. And he goes on to say, I might desire to boast. And it's the idea that most of us, by human nature, we like to share what our achievements. And I go back to the Old Testament and think about Nebuchadnezzar, who was warned. Well, let's all turn back to Daniel 4 real quick. I'll just read a few passages. Daniel 4 is probably my favorite chapter in the Bible. I say that, but every chapter becomes my favorite when I'm teaching through it. But Daniel 4 is one of those ones, knowing how Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were used to reach a man who, as God said, one of the greater kings ever to live. He gave him the symbol of the head of gold, and yet Daniel 4 is his testimony of how he, I believe, how he came to Christ. And so, but in the midst of this, Daniel's used to tell that, well, he's been given dreams and visions, and he's used to tell, used to warn Nebuchadnezzar that he needs to realize that God is the king. And it says in verse 17, actually, 17b, and he was given these things in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it to the lowest of men. So what he wanted Nebuchadnezzar to realize is he's not ultimately in charge. We talked about this as we went through Romans 13, beginning in Romans 13, that God appoints those who are in leadership. And again, that reminds every one of us that we should be praying for our leadership. They're having to make tough decisions. And I would love to say I'm full board on all the decisions. I'm not, but I know it's not an easy thing to be. I don't have all the information, and God's put these people in place, so I need to listen to them. But that's an aside. He gives Nebuchadnezzar these dreams and visions so he can warn this individual. Verse 27, Daniel says, "Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there will be a lengthening of your prosperity." And then going on to verse 30. Now he's warned of this, and then verse 30, just a year later, the king spoke, saying, "Is this not the great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" And it says at that point he had been warned that he would be made like an ox for 7 years. As these words came out of his lips, he was made to be an ox for 7 years. And it wasn't until his understanding returned, it says, or he was made to repent, really. And at the end of time, it says in verse 34, Nebuchadnezzar lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. And then what Nebuchadnezzar does with that, then he extends his truth, what God did in his life, and extends it to his whole kingdom. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor, verse 37, the King of Heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. And again, the Bible is clear that God is against pride, and he is, he will humble that, and that's what you see in that life, in his life. Paul, going back to 2 Corinthians, Paul says, I might have a desire for those. I mean, most of the world would. And of course, what the achievements that Paul has. We know another passage where he says all his achievements were like rubbish in comparison to the knowing Christ. And that's what we need to think of. But as I think of that desire to boast, it starts at a young age. I've coached often, and I've had kids that are the best in the world at certain skills. Well, they tell me this, even after one practice. And you know how that works. Little kids, they're told something. They sometimes won't say, "Hey, I'm the best." So, at that. And so, and when I think of this, I want to take my time to boast, of all the trick shots that I've made in my backyard and performed when nobody's watching, but my young kids, probably too young to hold a witness. And I really couldn't help it, sharing that. But, and I've made some awesome trick shots, but we're not going to go into that. What he goes on to say is, my wife's shaking her head behind the camera, just to let you guys know. What he goes on to say, I will not be a fool. And he's really mocking the Corinthians because they would not hold on to information or a revelation or a vision like this for 14 years. Of course, they would share it and they would probably give credit to themselves for being that man of God or that individual that the God would look down to use or give them this holy vision. And yet, he says, I'm not going to take part in this. But there's an old saying, it's better to be thought a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubts. And I think of that passage. And he goes on to say, Paul says, I will speak the truth. Right? He understands that best of men are men of best. Really the only difference between a believer and an unbeliever, the only difference is Jesus. He's the one who changes our lives. And why I can speak to this passage is because he uses our weaknesses to glorify himself. He's done it in my life. He's done it in the individuals around, you know, the believers I know. Like I said, you know, and I think of my other weakness, public speaking. And here I am, in front of a camera, and I'm being reminded by the audience, again, that I need to look into the camera. But public speaking is not one of my, yet God wants to use that to glorify himself, to show that he can take an individual to share his word. He can take any individual willing to share his word. And he wants to do that. So, he says, I will speak the truth, but I will refrain because I don't want you guys to misunderstand me. And what he's saying about that is, I'm going to explain my way of life and what God's done through me. This vision is not the focus. It was only to tell you that because of this vision, I got this thorn in the flesh, and because of the thorn in the flesh, God gets the glory. Because of the thorn in the flesh, God's strength can be seen through my weakness. And that's what he's going to go on to say in verses 7 through 10. Now, so verse 7, we see the presence of this thorn. Let's read, just to get on the page. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. So, Paul understood that no one is above pride. And so he was given this. You ever exalted somebody, before I get to the fact that he was given this, but you ever exalted somebody above measure? You ever looked at a sports star wanting to be him or her? An entertainer, you know, and then you find out about their lives and you're actually quite disappointed. This happens with a few people I've followed over the years. I've exalted them thinking they're subhuman by some of the feats that they've done and yet realize that they have a sin nature just like I. And a lot of times pride can get in their way. Right, because they don't look to God as their measuring stick. They don't look to God for the guidance and stuff like that. So, and again, Paul understands by all the revelations and visions that he's given, and we could go through a list of things that God's done in his life and the visions that God's given him. We could just mention that, you know, he wrote, 2/3 of the New Testament. That alone should give the guy, pride issues. Yet what God does is allows him to have a thorn in the flesh. So I think he shares this vision ultimately so he can tell the reason for it. Or shares the reasons. Well, sorry. The vision he shares is because he can give you the reason for it, the thorn in the flesh. And so this thorn, that word for thorn is like a tent stake. That's where we get the word, that's where they got the tent stake that they would use for tents. This is a thorn in the flesh. People speculate exactly what this was. I think it's eye problems. And I think it's Galatians 4, 12, 13, 14. You can look at those. He has eye problems. And you can see that. Or it could be something possibly resulting from the abuse that he's taken over 14 years, 25 years of ministry. Ultimately, we don't know. But again, I kind of move towards eye problems. Notice he says it wasn't placed, it wasn't thrown on me. He says it was given to me, like almost like a present. He counted it as a gift. Yet he knows that this ultimately could have been allowed by Satan, a messenger of Satan. It says. Well, let me read that again. A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. So, we learn from Job, if you read the book of Job, that God can allow Satan to do certain things. But again, God has to allow these things to happen. And here, Paul understands that this could be, this is from Satan to buffet. The word buffet means to, the idea to punch, to beat black and blue. It's the same words that were used for the treatment of Jesus before he went to the cross, Matthew 26, 67. And notice when he says that, lest I should be exalted, he goes to lest I be exalted. He understands man's capability to be lifted up in pride, to be boastful. And he goes from should be exalted above measure to lest I be exalted above measure. The idea that it would happen had maybe this thorn in the flesh not buffeted him. And what the devil means for evil, God uses for good. And what Paul recognizes is this is a provision by God. And we'll get that in verses 9 and 10. But before that, when Paul first gets this, he prays regarding this thorn. He obviously wants this taken away. And he pleads with the Lord three times. And it reminds you of when Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he also went to his Father and pleaded with him three times, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. And what his Father said is, there's no other way. And what Christ did then was willingly go to the cross, because he knew that would be the only way that he could provide believers, beloved, provide sinners a way to him, a way to have a relationship with Christ. And he provides that for each and every single one of us. So with that, he prays that it might depart. And God can answer, and we know, we serve a God that can do anything and everything he wants, and he could make that happen. He could have took this away. Whatever this illness or ailment or infirmity was in Paul's life, he could have took this away. But God has three answers. Yes, no, and wait. And sometimes when he doesn't answer yes to us, we will doubt his love or his faithfulness. And yet what Paul sees with this thorn in the flesh is God's going to use this in his ministry to glorify himself. And sometimes he allows us to have things or things to stick around in order that we gain a dependence on him. And when I've been going through these things as far as looking for work and the sickness, I was asking, you know, the Lord how to deal with this, and he reminded me of a message I probably gave a couple years ago, and where and I've said it a few times in some of my messages, that I would always want to grow more in my dependence for the Lord. And here I have two areas in my life where I was pretty proud. I was pretty proud, you know, of my work ethic, you know. Who could not hire me? Who wouldn't want to hire me? And yet, I'm finding out there's a lot of companies in Montana that don't want to hire me. But with that being said, and, you know, with my help, you know, it's just funny that I would be, you know, have this fever for a couple of days, thinking I might have COVID-19. We believe it to be the flu. So, with that being said, I'm kind of rambling, but again, God can do what he wants with this, any thorn in the flesh. I have a sister-in-law who has Parkinson's, and it's been hard on her and her family. She has four kids, husband, and yet she would tell you to your face that it's helped her grow in her relationship with the Lord because of her daily dependence on him. And again, we need to realize that sometimes we struggle in certain areas, and that doesn't give us the latitude to just let it happen. But we struggle in areas that God doesn't take away, so that we would look to him daily, hourly, ask for his help. And God can do some cool things through those things. So we know he can fix it. He doesn't choose to at this point. And he asked him three times, just like his Lord and Savior did. And yet God would not take this away from him. And, you know, when you think of this, it makes one aware of their inadequacies. Right? Understanding that we're just flesh. And ultimately, God's sovereign. And he gets to answer that prayer or not. You ever make a deal with God? Like, if you do this for me, I will serve you the rest of my life. And of course, I've made those deals over time just to kind of, you know, do something for me, and then I'll forget 2 weeks later and go back to my regular ways. And yet, it reminds me that sometimes I'm thankful for unanswered prayers. And you guys know the song, I think by Garth Brooks. I always think of that. I think it's unbiblical in the fact that God answers prayers. It's just not sometimes according to what we want to hear. He always answers prayers. He hears us, the Bible says. We can have this confidence, it says in 1 John, that he hears us. That if we pray to him. Right? And so we know he hears us, yet sometimes he doesn't give us the answers we desire. We have individuals in the Bible that had this happen to them. Abraham, for one. You know, he prayed that Ishmael would be the first in the lineage. Right? And yet, what God said is, I chose Isaac. We have Moses, who said, "No, I don't think I'm the right person to lead the Israelites." And yet God said, "Yeah, you are. You're going to." David, you know, prayed for his child, the child that he had with Bathsheba, that God would save this child. Yet we know this child dies. First Samuel 18:23, it says. And what? Well, let me actually read that passage. First Samuel 18. First Samuel 18:23 says, "So Saul's servant spoke these words in the hearing of David, and David said, 'Does it seem to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing I am poor and lightly esteemed man?'" Okay, this is the wrong verse. Didn't check this one. But basically, what David realizes with the death of his son or his daughter, I don't remember, he says, "I know that they killed that. Maybe won't come back to me, but I'll be able to go to him or her." It's him, I think. It's him. So, and what it does for David, it gives him an eye towards heaven, to be with God. And so, changes his perspective. Also, with Elijah. At one point, when Jezebel's going after him, he asked that God would allow him to die. And God doesn't answer that prayer. And actually, he's never died, still, to this day. He was taken up with God. And so, sometimes God has a different way which to handle things. And that's what we'll get in verses 9 and 10. Last two verses will deal with the provision provided by the thorn. And what God said to me. It says, "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.'" Grace is God's unmerited favor. And he says, "My grace is sufficient." It not only saves an individual, it sustains an individual. And understand that we are often mistaken at what is best for us in His work. We think we need certain things to work out as we've designed them in our head or spoken them out loud, and yet God has a different plan. Paul's prayer was not answered, not by deliverance from this affliction, but receiving the necessary grace to bear it through his ministry. And I think of that passage in Isaiah 55, understanding that Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God has the big picture. We need to put our trust in Him, even through ailments, even through hard times. And He says, "Not only is my grace sufficient, but my strength is made perfect." His strength, God's power, is made perfect. That's the idea of complete in our weakness. It's most powerful when He is least reliant on His own resources. An individual is most powerful when he is least reliant. A Christian, when he's least reliant on his own resources. When we allow God to do the work in our lives. Do we want a greater fear of God than man? I think of these questions. What did John the Baptist say? "Less of me, more of you." Do we want what the world can give? Solomon did. He went after each and everything he could. And in the end, he said, fear God and keep his commandments. This is man's all. Ecclesiastes 12:13. You want to question God's purpose in suffering? Job did. He was then given 108, a lot of questions that God asked him. And Job's reply, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I have poured myself in repent and dust and ashes. Understand what Jesus says about this. I just read this in a quiet time. Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a physician. But those who are sick, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What God wants is to understand our frailty and our weakness so we become more dependent on Him. And He wants to get rid of the pride in our lives. He says that, and that's the conclusion that Paul comes to. He says, therefore, look at his attitude on it. Therefore, most gladly, most gladly, because now Paul can show both God's grace and power more clearly in his infirmity. He says, most gladly, I'd rather boast in my infirmities than the power of Christ may rest upon me. It was not the vision, but the weaknesses that revealed Christ's word. That's why he can boast in his infirmities. Therefore, the second one, he says, I take pleasure in infirmities. That seems a little goofy, but what he's is saying is he's accepting the way Christ's power works in us. Understand that we are weak. We're just flesh and bones. And God gets to work the way in which He wants. Right? When He does this through our weaknesses. Right? So the glory is not taken. Right? No flesh shall glory. It says again in 1 Corinthians. I take pleasure in infirmities, and those are just weaknesses, needs. And can we say this about ourselves, right? I'm trying to read this in Paul, obviously here in the Bible. Can I say this, that I take pleasure in infirmities and my weaknesses? Well, I'd love to say, yes, I'm full bore. I'm trying to get there, right? In my hardships, can I say I take pleasure? In my persecutions. Persecutions to follow means to follow with hostile intentions. And he gave you a whole list of persecutions that he's gone through. I take pleasure. I accept the way God, Christ, power works in these situations. In my distresses, and that's just tight situations. Do I take pleasure in these? He says we need to take pleasure in them for Christ's sake. We need to maintain the testimony. Jesus did it with our example. We talked about this as we went through 1 Peter on Thursday. He was our example. We need to maintain a testimony. We need to take pleasure in these things. For when I am weak, hopefully this is something not hard to say. And if you're still having a hard time saying before, when I am weak, I understand that, again, in comparison to God, and how God wants to use you, you need to understand that we're weak. We're bent towards sin. That's, why He wants us to be dependent on Him. He understands that we're just flesh, and He understands that we can go that way if we're not looking to Him for answers. Then I am strong. And when I'm strong, it's God working through me. It's been said that God and I make a majority. So, with that being said, and we're finished with the passage, I just you know, in the times we're in, you know, what's driving our nation right now is fear. And what I want us to understand is that God has a solution. And it was His Son, Christ. And what Christ did not do was, well, what Christ did was He saved us. But not only that, He gave us the ability to live through these moments, live through these times, and take pleasure. All did. And He took pleasure in His infirmities and His needs and His persecutions. I think in Philippians He says, I learned to be content in all situations. But I think it's fitting that His last letter he wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy, and He's reminding Timothy to his responsibility to teach and preach to the church in Ephesus. And He says, you've been given a gift. You need to stir it up. That's just like adding coal to a fire. You need to stir this gift that's been given to you. Just like every one of us, you need to be stirred up. You need to be reminded that God's given us gifts. And we need to use them. But He says, what I have not given you is a spirit of fear, but I've replaced that with the spirit of power. And then again, that's the ability to do the will of God. Of love, the idea of self-sacrificing, the fruit of the Spirit, the action towards the rest of the world. Like during this time, we need to have the ability to do the will of God. What God's asking us, every one of us, still, young and old, go out there and tell people about Jesus. And I know we're kind of confined to our homes, but there's ways in which we can reach people, our neighbors, and things like that. Use this time, use this opportunity. Show individuals why we're different. Right? We're no different in makeup. We're still weak. We have frailties. Differences. Jesus is in our life. And He's saved us. And He's also given us a sound mind, a calm and self-controlled mind. And He wants us to understand that we have a peace about us. We need to have a peace about us in these times and not go crazy. We need to love those around us. And so, as in summary, again, what Paul wants us to understand is that we need to take pleasure in our weaknesses because God gets glorified in these things. We need to give them over to God, and we need to increase our dependence on Him. With that being said, I want to pray for each and every one of us. One, that we would look to God for wisdom during this time. That we would be about His business. That we wouldn't look like the rest of the world, scared or frightened, but using this as an opportunity to share His love to the rest of the world. So with that, let me pray. And Lord, just thank You again for Your word. Thank You for Paul's example. Lord, I know a lot of us are going through things. We have things in our lives, and sometimes we ask why they're not getting rid of. But Lord, You want our dependence to grow in You. You want to use these weaknesses to show Your glory. So Lord, help us to have that attitude, to take pleasure in our weaknesses, to understand that our lives are to be about Your business, to give You the glory. Lord, help us, fill us with Your Spirit. Help us give it again. Lord, just give us discernment, how to love those around us, how to take advantage of opportunities around us. And again, thank you for all the individuals that are listening this morning. Thank you that you want to speak to each and every one of them. Lord, just ask that you would be speaking to them, continue to speak to them throughout the rest of the day, Lord. Just thank you for that. Just asking you again, bless the rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys, and have a blessed rest of the day.